Well, take me back to the beginning, like the very beginning, North Carolina days.
God, I'm sitting around bored. Like, this sucks. There ain't nothing going on.
Eighth day. God created entertainment. It was probably the summer of 93, and I'd been playing in an original music band with like the same four guys for about 9 years. And we all had had enough, and you know, we'd had the publishing deal and the little indie record deal and broke up, and everyone was going to go their separate ways, and I was owed like $4,000. And I said, there's no way in hell I'm getting my money back if these guys go back to their record store jobs and their you know, their little radio station jobs and whatnot. So college radio, not commercial. But so I said, well, yeah, about a week passed after we broke up, and I called these guys, and I said, we owe other people money besides me. Let's get together and play a bunch of covers. We'll just, you know, hammer off some covers, play for 6 months, make our money back, and everybody's really happy. And after a couple weeks of trying to come up with settle down there, Davey. After a couple weeks of trying to come up with some ideas and concepts and song list, I had seen an ad on TV like at 3 a.m. for a CD, a compilation CD, 80s right. compilation CD called Absolute 80s. And I thought, that is perfect, because, you know, we had started the band, our original music band, in 84, and we're doing all a bunch of covers then. I said, we already know most of these songs, and I, you know, of course they're playing the videos as they're running the ad, and I thought, we could dress up and do all that gay makeup. That would be perfect,
and
you know? We're a bunch of posers.
And in 1993, this would have been considered pretty radical.
It was, because when I put the whole thing together, I tried to shop it around to agents. We got a couple of gigs on our own, and I tried to shop it around to all kinds of agencies. Crescent Moon, who's here in town, obviously.
To them, it wasn't forward thinking, but it was old.
They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. They couldn't understand. They said, "No, there's no way this will work. You got to do some '60s and some grunge, and you got to do some disco, and there's no way you're going to be able to do just '80s and pull it off." There was one guy in Atlanta at East Coast who had the same vision that I did, and took a chance on it. So about 6 months passed, and the guys were just not really into it. They were just taking it as a big joke. And I said, we're going to break this thing up if we don't step up and do a professional job at this thing, and I'm going to break the band. And they had gotten sort of comfortable with the money, because after about 6 months of the band, the money started to kind of
You were
come
doing
in.
Locally thing? Local
Mostly local stuff. We were doing mostly frat stuff, stuff around North Carolina, South Carolina. And so they kind of stepped up to the plate, and we learned all our lyrics correctly, and they all started playing their parts correctly. And, you know, a year went by, and, you know, things were just, I mean, smoking. So, but they had always given it some sort of time frame, and 2 years was their time frame, and that was it. So at the end of 2 years, I had been living in Atlanta at that point for about a year and a half. This was 96. And they all left, and I said, well, I'm going to take the name, and I'm going to basically take the concept, and I'm going to keep booking it, since I'm, you know, pretty much the one who started in the beginning. So, and they said that was fine, and I replaced everybody, and Mike is the one guy who's still with me who I replaced back in 96.
So, right on.
And it's been various versions, you know, throughout the years up to this point. So.
But there aren't any augmented versions of the band, like a corporate version with the chick singers and the saxophone guys. And
no, we pretty much lay it straight on the line. If they want us for a corporate party or wedding, look, this is what you get. You get a 60 and a 90, which is what you get at the clubs with an encore, and we're going to bring it. There's no dinner set. There's no jazz set. We're not going to bring any sort of, we're not going to wear tuxes. We're not going to do any of this fancy crap for you. We're going to roll in. We're going to look like a bunch of rock and rollers, and we're going to, you know.
But we just want Swift.
It makes it a little easier to market. As well, when you do that,
it does. It's everybody knows exactly
thing,
what they're getting.
That's what you do.
Yeah, and really, at this point, after the band, you know, the band's been together for like 13 years now, and at this point, pretty much everybody who hires us has seen us at least once, so they know what they're kind of getting themselves into. So,
now, having said that, over the course of time, the Breakfast Club has become a brand and a franchise in the same manner that James Bond, Kiss, the Velcro Pygmies have. Was this intentional from the beginning, or did it happen by accident?
It was not intentional. Every year I go into the offices with East Coast, and I sit down with the agents, and I talk to them about, wow, that was a good year. And, you know, after the first year, how much longer do you give this? And I'm thinking, oh, another year or two. And before you know it, a year or two passes, and we're sitting down again, and we're talking about things. Well, how long do you give it? Ah, a couple years. And, I mean, what, 13 years later? It's like the... You know, the longest overnight success kind of thing. So, yeah, it's amazing the iconic value that it has. There was a newspaper article in a Raleigh paper that was talking about Christmas gifts, and one of the gifts was a game about 80s trivia, and it said, this game is perfect for the folks who like to catch the Breakfast Club when they're in town. sort of surmising that everyone who might have been reading that column knew who the Breakfast Club was. It's like, what?
Given, yeah.
It was really kind of bizarre. And there are those kinds of things that... Oh,
bizarre.
I hate that word.
So oh, it's just, yeah.
It's not a chiral market.
To see, you know, to have that kind of thing happen and see it in print. And, I mean, you hear about those, you know, the people having these pre-show parties and they bring a van load of 20 people to the party and they've been partying since 4 in the afternoon because they all got together to go see the Breakfast Club. It's like really weird.
That's pathetic.
But it's great for us. I mean, it's just been it's been an overtime kind of thing. You know, that's just happening.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We recently did a feature on Rich Leverone.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other former Breakfast Clubbers doing?
Goodness.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Married baby such as that, someone we had to put down. Like,
no. Runs the gamut.
No, Rick.
And we know about Rick Lazarus, who I play with in Kung Pao.
Some are dead.
Some should be dead. Some are dead but still living, walking. No, some are still in bands. Some got married. You know, just really nothing new or great. Just, I mean, nothing real noteworthy.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, tell us about your set list for people that don't know.
Set list is basically from the beginning. It was derived from. We took the entire decade of the 80s and we picked out songs from the top 10 off of all the Billboard charts, thinking along the lines of that everybody would know these songs. And some were hits, some were misses. And now these guys basically field requests pretty much only from girls, because a bunch of dudes can come up and name song after song, but then you're going to have a bunch of dudes coming to your show, and that's really not very cool. So it's all about what the girls want to hear, and that's pretty much how we formulate the set list. So.
We like Jimmy Jean. It's not a good show.
Well, in terms of requests, how often do you rotate songs? How do you turn?
Go ahead.
Not that often. I mean, it's a hardcore, it's two hardcore sets of songs that over time have been molded into a very good formula. And we never have something that works really well, so if it's not broken, you don't want to fix it.
You know, we
add new songs and we take things in and out occasionally just to keep ourselves fresh more than anything else. Yeah. But we try and keep the most popular elements, the Jesse's Girl, you know, all those kind of things that all the girls scream out. We try and keep them in all the time. So therefore, there's not so much rotation you can do. If
a well-oiled machine, so to speak.
Yeah, show, a theater production, dressed up, acting out a thing.
Yeah, it's more like a show than. And just changing up the set list every night.
A new song, and if it works, good. If it doesn't,
yeah.
And you guys do about 80, I'm guessing here, 80% clubs, 20% colleges, something like that, and
pretty
the occasional
much.
Wedding
yeah.
thrown in, just the occasional wedding. Now, how much longer will it be before old school corporate Motown cover acts are no longer the default wedding band? And retro 80s cover bands are the new default.
It's pretty much here now.
It's here
at least for us, anyway, because we will do probably a dozen weddings in 06, whereas we probably have done a dozen weddings, you know, in the last 3 years. And what's happening is a lot of the people, kids, patrons who come to see us at these clubs over the last 4 or 5 years are now starting to get married.
What happened in the past, I think, is the father who was paying for the reception
wanted
to hear the Motown, and that's why they've had 20, 30 years worth of domination.
Yeah. Yeah, now the bride and groom are becoming more important.
We never do a wedding that we're sold for.
Yeah, we have to.
We're always requested. We are the special guests. We're probably more important than the wedding guests.
To the bride and groom.
To the bride and groom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always fans that really, really
That's
love.
Awesome.
And
they've been mad at our show or something, you know.
And that's the way we treat the bride and groom. I mean, the wedding coordinator is usually up our ass, and she's about 100 years old, and the patrons are, you know, half the patrons are about, you know, coffin dodgers and, you know, blue hairs. And it's
beach
like,
music.
You know, it's, yeah, and they want beach music or disco, and we just, you know, we're there for the bride and groom, and as long as they're drunk and happy and partying at the end of the night, we've done our job.
The parents usually end up loving us anyway.
Awesome.
Because we're all long hair and tattoos, so they expect us to tear the place up.
We made their kids
are
getting married happy.
Yeah.
So we win them over in the end.
Take it like a man.
Damn. Rough stuff.
America's become hip-hop nation, and many many, if not most, of your college audiences listen to hip-hop as their primary music. Any thoughts on why there hasn't been a shift from booking rock and roll and dance cover bands to booking more acts like Chicago 16th Floor, who were a hip-hop cover band?
Yeah, I would think that...
Has there been a dialogue amongst you guys about that at all? Or?
Not really. My guess would be that that they're, the good acts that do that kind of thing are few and far between. And
it doesn't take an entire...
Well, a lot of the studio stuff, too, would be kind of difficult to do live unless you just threw a dad in or something.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, 17th floor?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Is it 17th floor?
I think that the one from Mississippi or something?
They're from Chicago.
Oh, are they from Chicago? Oh, okay.
It may be two different bands. They just happen to have close similar names.
Yeah, because there's a 17th floor that's from Memphis or something.
17th floor is supposed to be incredible.
Yeah.
And Wild Peach is...
Is Outkasts.
Yeah, and
they do that really well.
Right, and they're supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
I think it's apples and oranges, though, because I think those kids listen to that, but then they come to our show, even some of them weren't alive, they sing every word. It's just a different thing.
It's
not even competition.
What strikes me, yeah, it is apples and oranges, yeah. But you'd never catch them listening to... Animotion,
yeah,
you know, on a Monday morning on the way to work or to school, but on Friday night, 11 o'clock after the third beer, it's for some reason it works.
You said the key word beer,
yeah, alcohol.
God bless me,
yes,
right on. Tell us about your product and merch. Do you have merch?
Very little. T-shirts, got some t-shirts, posters, stickers, that kind of thing. It's just, I mean. We don't really have any records out. I mean, we're doing covers.
Mm-hmm. Can people pick that up at the shows? Or
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can they order it off the website?
Not yet, but soon.
Not yet. They will soon.
Cool.
In general, people can just come up and ask either the band or if we have a merchandise person that wants to on the event.
Push. How often do you update your press kit?
Let's see. The last press kit was updated in 99.
1899.
Actually, anytime we change members, we update the bio, and we, you know, a few months after that, we update the picture.
Compartmentalize picture over the poster.
Yeah, and the thing is about this group, I mean, you know, I mean, we put together a one-page bio and a song list. You know, you can list all the places you've played and all the people you've opened for and all that kind of crap, but, you know, people are booking the band... Either A, the clubs are booking the band because of the numbers. They saw a settlement sheet from some other club and are like, shit, we got to get that, try that in our place.
Right.
Or they've seen the band before and they want to book it for a private or corporate or frat party. So, I don't know, press kit, it really isn't too useful for us anymore.
No, for us, right, it's the word of mouth that is the biggest advertiser for us.
Cool.
Really, word of mouth from everybody, from the public right through to the promoters, right through to the club owners.
When do you rehearse? How do you rehearse?
Generally, we don't need to. If we decide on any material that we're going to slot in, we just use a sound check to try it out. And if it's, you know, we learn our parts individually at home, come together, four pieces of a jigsaw, and if it works and it sounds good,
do like
that night.
Background vocals first and then run the song low volume, or you just kind of just
We usually just
start.
One, two, three, go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right
on.
And then we just critique it and go, okay, that was crap.
And work out the kinks afterwards. And
yeah. Just make sure everybody knows their parts going in and then make sure that we have the order right. And then it's obviously the lead vocal would have to be there. And then we just work backing vocals up and it's 30 minutes and it's, you know, next song. So
other than the Simmons, which are triggered and completely live, there's, from what I can see, there's no supplemental loops, keys, vocals. It's all live, baby.
All live. No samples, you know, no drum loops or any of that kind of stuff. No backing tracks, nothing.
And
that's one of the things that I've maintained for the last 13 years, and a lot of the guys have come into this band and said, well, you ought to do this. You ought to try this backing track. We ought to sample some stuff. Like, no, we got to keep it live. Just step it up. You're talented enough, and I think that bodes well with the crowd.
Right on. And tell us about your worst routing experience.
Mike probably would remember. I don't remember
anything to have to do with Wilmington.
Wilmington, Atlanta, North Carolina. Atlanta to Wilmington, North Carolina. There's no short way to get there.
Some of them are pretty good. We got a bad one coming up next week. Well, lack of sleep.
Yeah, we just have. It's not necessarily bad routines, but maybe a couple of gigs in one day.
Yeah.
After having a late night gig the night before.
Right. Next gig, you know, they want you there early. Especially if it's like a corporate thing or something.
Within 24 hours.
You know, next week we have...
It's probably just a lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Next week we have a club gig in Athens, Georgia. So we'll be finishing early in the morning. and then we have to be in Knoxville, Tennessee, for to start at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's rough.
For an hour and a half, and then we have a gig in Chattanooga, Tennessee that night. So that's gonna be bad.
This is probably not applicable to you guys, but at one point, yeah, it probably was. What's the magic trick to taking time off of work for shows without losing your job?
What job?
They can't. They don't.
We don't.
It's in their contract that basically, unless they die, they're not allowed to take a night off. It's pretty close to that. I mean, if family is sick or family dies or there's an emergency, that kind of thing, yeah, we'd cancel a show.
It's very, very difficult. You know, each of us is an integral part of the group and can't really be covered at the flick of a switch. So if one of us drops out, you know, it's like, okay, how can we cover that?
All right, so what's the magic trick to taking time off
otherwise?
Without losing your day job.
We don't have a day job.
No?
You've never had a day job in your life.
Well, yeah, we have.
Oh, yeah.
So before the band. Had one.
Oh, yeah.
Before the band.
But yeah, but once we
since
were in
the band,
this was it.
The last day job I had, I was 21, and I'm now 38.
But you played gigs.
And I played music ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a conscious decision. I was like, screw this, 9 to 5, don't like it, going to go and do my music full-time.
Right on.
And since then, that's all I've ever done.
So, yeah, I guess it would have to be a question of before you were in this band,
yeah,
what was
the... Yeah, like, mm-hmm. Band I was in, the first band, it was really rough, working 48 hours a week, playing 2 or 3 gigs a week. If something interfered, I'd call in sick to work less.
And you just keep calling in sick until you
lose your job, yeah.
Just figure out how to live on, you know, you can get a bag of rice, like a 10-pound bag of rice for $1. You know, just go, okay, I'm going to be in a band and not make diddly for a while.
Advice from country bars.
You don't need luxuries like heat in the winter, like that.
But thankfully, that doesn't apply.
It doesn't really matter if you are working a day job. It doesn't really matter because this is where it's at, the music.
Right on.
You could be shoveling poop or you could be driving a truck. Working electronics, it doesn't really matter.
Mike, how do you clean the suit?
What suit?
The shiny suit, man.
Oh!
How do you clean that thing?
Professional. I throw it in the washing machine.
You throw it in the washing machine?
He doesn't care.
Shake it out.
Similar. And I used to get them at the Jamal's House of Fashions and stuff. So I have some fairly inexpensive suits, so if I pull it out of the dryer, it's all messed up. It's like...
You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to have a design of
order. Oh, yeah, I have a designer. Giovanni Armani Gustavus, this thing, or some French guy comes.
What about the kilt? You take that down to the dry cleaner? And
yeah, it has to be.
The Asian
has to be. That's something that can't be washed at that home. It has to be. It has to be specially cleaned.
Yeah. They've ever asked you any questions about it? Or?
No, not at all. It's invariably Vietnamese or Chinese
they
or whatever.
Like it,
and they, I think for some reason they seem to know what it is. And they even iron it for me and give it back. It's great.
Coming up on the wrap up here, what's next for the Breakfast Club? More of the same?
There seems to be a real increase this year. In particular, the diet is really filling up.
That's American, or that's Scottish for itinerary.
Yeah. Diary.
Come on now. Everyone knows what diary is.
We bought some lottery tickets on the way down here. So
yeah, it's all for you.
We got a new big movie star.
We got a new drummer coming.
Eventually. Yes.
I think Jerry's enjoying it at the moment. You know, his wife likes to get him out of the house. Keep getting over here. You know, and he's okay. He's okay until we sack him and get somebody else.
Any last question? Any sponsors or endorsements you want to plug?
None. We are
all on his own from the day one.
We're free of all that. We're free of anybody else's control or reign.
Right on. The Breakfast Club. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.